The information given in this podcast is not meant to replace medical advice. Always consult your medical team. Welcome to the PCOS Diet Support Podcast, where it's all about you and overcoming your PCOS. And now, here's your host, Taryn.
Hey, and welcome to episode 3 of the PCOS Diet Support Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. Before we get into the bulk of the podcast, I just wanted to chat to you about a couple of things. And the first one was that September is PCOS Awareness Month. And I think this is a really amazing opportunity for us to spread awareness about PCOS because there are just so many of us who are affected by it, but so few people who actually know what it is. And as part of this campaign, really, I really want to put a face to PCOS, and I want it to be that people can relate, that other women with PCOS who are newly diagnosed or finding out about it, that they can find a place where they can go and they can find other women like them and they can relate. And so we've started a new feature called Share Your Story. And we've recently put up Danielle's story and we got really good feedback from that. And you seem to really have connected with that. And so if this is something that you'd like to be a part of, I'd love for you to just send me just an email and I can get back to you with all the details of how you can share your story on the blog. And if you do want to be involved, my email address is Taryn, T-A-R-R-Y-N, at PCOSdietsupport.com. And again, let's spread the word and let's put a face to PCOS. The other thing is that I have recently been asked a very interesting question, and it's something that I've been thinking about doing for a while now. But one of the women in the community asked me how they should explain to their husband about what PCOS is. And so I thought that there was no better way of doing this than to ask a man to get involved. And so today I am so proud and I'm so excited to introduce Tim, who is my husband, and he is really the man behind PCOS Diet Support. Everything about the website Tim has had a hand in, you know, we wouldn't have the website, we wouldn't have the community, we wouldn't have the meal plans if Tim wasn't there. So he's not only kind of my partner in life and my husband and the father of my kids, but he's also my partner in business. So welcome to the podcast, Tim.
Hi, I'm Tim. So this is a bit strange for me, but yeah, it's cool to be sitting next to you in our home recording this. A bit strange, and I hope I'm not gonna end up on the couch after this or anything crazy like that. But
no, I'm sure you won't. I'm sure you'll do a good job. We just really wanted to share, I guess, both of our stories because PCOS is not just, you know, I may be the one diagnosed the condition, but it really impacts both of us. And so I wanted Tim to share some of his experiences of living with a woman with PCOS and also maybe to help us explain to the men in our lives about what PCOS is. So my first question is...
So you're going to be interviewing me, are you?
I am going to be interviewing you.
Okay.
But I'm hoping there'll be more like a conversation.
Okay. Shoot.
Okay. So the first question is, how did you feel when I was first diagnosed?
Interesting question. So... I don't know. I guess, firstly, the way I answer these questions is I'm going to be as honest as I can. I'm not going to pretend to be the perfect husband because I know I'm not. And you could probably spend a whole podcast sharing that. But in terms of when you first got diagnosed and how I felt, if truth be said, obviously there was a natural concern. You came back saying you had PCOS. I had no idea what that stood for. And then you started explaining that, you know, it's got to do with kind of women issues and cysts on your ovaries and this kind of stuff. And obviously, again, I was concerned and I was like, oh man, that doesn't sound cool. But, you know, I wasn't happy. But I think for me, it was like, oh, well, that's kind of not your issue. That sounds terrible. But it was like, okay, it is what it is. I didn't know anything about it. And yeah, I mean, it was kind of just like one of those things. It's like, it's a woman issue. It's kind of your issue. So that sucks. But I didn't really know much about it.
So you couldn't really relate or understand what was happening.
No, I don't have ovaries, firstly, but obviously.
True.
But no, I couldn't. I guess, obviously now I'm in a much different place where I've been educated on it. But I guess even then I wouldn't have associated any of the kind of emotional elements of it. Yes. I just thought it was a physical issue that you had with your ovaries.
Yeah, like I just had an irregular cycle and that was it.
Yeah, I mean, I always knew that, but it was... You know, again, it was like, yeah, it's just a physical condition that you'll take a couple of tablets and it'll be fine.
Yeah, funny it was that easy. So then my next question, this is the question that we were asked, is how would you explain to a man or another man about PCOS? What would you say to them?
Wow, I think if I had to explain it now, obviously it'd be a bit different because I know a lot more. Yeah, I mean, in terms of, I guess the way I would describe it in terms of my frame of reference would be you mainly, because I've seen how it's impacted you. But I think my basic understanding of how I would explain it would be, obviously it's a hormone kind of disorder, I guess, that results in quite a few symptoms, you know. So, yeah, I mean, obviously one of those is, you know, well, the result of that is putting on weight. Obviously, these are some of the symptoms that
yeah.
So PCOS, in effect, can cause weight gain. Obviously, you know, it can cause hairiness and stuff. You know, excess hair growth. Sorry, not hairiness.
No, that's fine.
And, yeah, obviously that's due to kind of increased testosterone levels. This is what I've understood later. Yes. You know, hormones get changed and messed up. Obviously, there's a physical side of it internally in terms of the actual cysts on your ovaries, and all of this combined causes you not to have regular periods.
Yeah.
So, you know, you could maybe miss a few months worth of periods and that sort of thing. So I don't think I did a very good explanation there, but obviously I think it's a lot, there's a lot to it actually. It's quite a complex thing. Obviously insulin resistance is something else that women would struggle with, which can cause the excess weight and all of that. So it's actually quite a complex condition to understand. Yes. And I think you'd almost need to sit down with someone and explain to like a fellow guy, maybe over a beer or something, and explain. But I think as we get into this, maybe it'll be easier if I explain more of the results of PCOS and how it's affected our marriage and how it impacts you. That might be a better way of, by the end of this, hopefully, if guys are listening to this, that will give them a better understanding of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the key thing, which you mentioned but kind of didn't mention, is that it's more than just the ovaries, you know, that it's a lifelong thing that impacts every area of my life, really.
Yeah, exactly. And when you first got diagnosed, I was like, yeah, again, it was like, oh, well, you know, it's like a short-term thing, you'll get over. It's like a rash, you know, put some cream on this rash, it'll go away in 2 weeks. I mean, obviously that's not the case. So
no.
Anyway, do you have any more questions for me?
I do. I have loads. My other question was, how do you feel about my PCOS, about the fact that I've got PCOS?
It's not cool. It's not cool. It's a lot better now. I mean, obviously, we'll get into that a bit later. But in terms of how I feel about you having PCOS, yeah, it's not great. I think seeing what it's done to you over the years and in terms of how it's impacted you and subsequently us, it hasn't been a great thing.
Mm-mm. But what do you mean by impacted us? Like, what do you think it's impacted on?
It's interesting. Even though it's like a physical condition, I think the biggest impact for me has been emotional. In terms of, you know, I mean, I think you're pretty good. And this is where I must be careful of ending up on the couch. But
I promise you I won't end up on the couch.
Oh, good. Okay.
I wanted to be honest.
No, that's cool. No, I think you, obviously, I mean, you've had huge mood swings throughout the years. And you've never really been, I wouldn't say you've been that bad. But obviously there's been, you've gone through bouts of, I would say, slight depression, even if we didn't recognize it or label it depression. Yeah, you have been up and down through the years. You haven't. One thing I've noticed, your self-image and your self-worth almost at times has suffered a lot. You know, you haven't necessarily felt feminine.
No.
And I used to see that. And I guess that was hard for me because, you know, I want you to feel pretty in yourself first. And that obviously has an impact on me. If you're not feeling great, you know, you're not going to feel like, you know, you're everything you need to be for me necessarily. Yes. Yeah. Does that help?
Yes, it does. Thank you. And what symptoms do you think are the most difficult?
I think that's going to vary from woman to woman, but in terms of my experience.
What's your experience?
Yeah, well, in our experience, I think I'd say the emotional impact again is probably the bigger one. And I'm assuming a lot of guys would find that also quite difficult in terms of, you know, the up and down, the mood swings. I guess that. I mean, obviously stuff like hair growth is not great, let's be honest. I mean, it's not. I don't think many guys would put that on their list of desirability.
No.
That's just being honest. Obviously, you know, weight gain is an issue, although that hasn't really been the first. I don't think you've ever put on a huge amount of weight.
No, but I weigh a lot more now than I did when we first met.
Yeah. Well, that happens with age as well, but yeah.
True.
No, you have, and I guess that hasn't been a huge issue. I'm not one of those guys that, like, images everything in our marriage. Luckily, our marriage goes way deeper than just, you know, the physical elements of it. So that's a good thing. So obviously I love you regardless. But yeah, I mean, I guess those things, those symptoms, I guess, would be some of the worst. Yes. Yeah.
And I think it's so, for me, it's so interesting because not once has fertility come up in the conversation about the hardest things. And I think for us as women, or for me, that would be a lot of my focus is, you know, falling pregnant and fertility. But actually what Tim said is it's more of the emotional thing. And for me, the, you know, I didn't think that I was that, that I was on that much of a roller coaster, but obviously having an outside perspective, it just shows you that actually there is a very real impact that PCOS does have on our emotional well-being. And it's not just the mood swings. I think it's also, as Tim said earlier, it's the impact that it has on our self-esteem and our self-worth. And, you know, the fact that often I just don't feel feminine. Although, I mean, I think that's changed.
Yeah, definitely.
It has changed. But in the beginning, you know, there were definitely times when I didn't feel feminine.
Yeah, but also, if you're generally not happy within yourself, it impacts everything, right?
Yeah.
It's not just you. It's, you know, that spark's missing from your eye. You know, harder to pick us up and get going, you know. But just going back to the fertility thing, it's interesting because for me, that was a huge issue when we spoke about having kids.
Yes.
But outside of that, it wasn't... I guess you're right. You know, women typically grow up fantasizing about their wedding day. You know, maybe some guys do that. But I think generally, you know, guys are focused on other stuff, you know.
Yeah.
It's not... And I guess, you know, along with marriage comes babies. So I think... Not to say, obviously, you know, we always discussed having a family, and yes. I love our family, and I love the fact, you know, I love kids, but it's not something that was with me every day.
No.
Where for you, carrying the worry about that probably was.
Yes.
So yeah.
And I mean, I think we're very fortunate, and I'm so so grateful that we already have a 2.5-year-old, and we quite pregnant with our second. I think we were about 7.5 months pregnant with our second. But what was it like going through, you know, when we were trying for a baby? What was it like for you? What is your experience of trying for a baby?
I guess that's where PCOS became the most real for me in terms of, yeah, it was obviously tricky because we were trying for a few months. And then, you know, each month you kind of think, well, did we hit the mark? I mean, obviously the practicing was fun. Sorry, I shouldn't mention that. But no, obviously that aside, in all seriousness, though, I think it was difficult because it was such a big unknown, right? You know, you don't know where you are on the spectrum. You know, is it something that, well, next month we'll fall pregnant, or
yeah.
Is it ever going to happen? And I think not knowing how severe that was,
yeah.
was an issue. And I guess, luckily, I think we were able to kind of, I don't know, help each other through that, really. And we spoke about it a lot, which helps.
Yeah, so. And how was I when, you know, every time I got a negative pregnancy or test or my period was late or and I wasn't pregnant, how was I emotionally during that time?
Yeah, I think obviously that's, for you, there was almost, not anger, there was almost like a resentment towards PCOS and an anger towards this, you know, why is this not happening? Obviously that was, it was difficult to see you in that state because it was a huge disappointment. Each time you did a, you know, there would be this hope and, you know, run to the pharmacy, come back with a test and nothing.
We spent so much money on pregnancy tests.
Yeah, it's true, actually. I think it wasn't cool seeing you going through that.
Yeah.
For me, there was natural disappointment each time. I think, obviously, it gets harder the longer time goes on.
Yes.
So the first few months, you know, you kind of like, you know, you expect it to take a while. But luckily, in the end, we got there. So, you know, obviously, we're incredibly blessed.
Yes.
But I think that's largely due to the fact that you've made radical changes to your life. I mean, you were hungry to fall pregnant, and we were, and you took the right steps, and we got there. So
yeah, we did.
So it's a good news. That's good news.
Yeah, we did. And I guess for those of you who don't know the story, is when I was diagnosed with PCOS, I made huge, as Tim said, I made huge changes to my diet and my lifestyle, and I managed my PCOS only through diet and lifestyle. I've never taken metformin or needed any fertility medication, and that. You know, we eventually did fall pregnant. I think it took about a year to fall pregnant with my daughter. And the second time around, it took about 5 months. But I'd been eating really well before we started trying.
Yeah. And
for our second baby.
Exactly. And I think, to me, I mean, if the ladies listening to this actually can take courage or encouragement from that, is that I think it's not easy doing anything. But if you know why you're doing it and you've got that drive, like we knew you wanted to fall pregnant, you did thorough research. I mean, for those of you maybe who've read the blog will know that my dear wife is a thorough researcher, and you know, I'd say she's the intellectual part of our marriage. So she does, you know, all this great research, and you knew then already that diet was the best way of actually treating PCOS. And the fact that you stuck it through, I mean, I'm obviously very proud of Taryn, what she's done on the website and how she stuck through the diet. And obviously I'm grateful because it's resulted in us having, well, two kids. One's on the way. Next question. Do you have one?
I do have. I have lots. How did I change when I started managing my PCOS, when I changed my diet? How did I change?
It was interesting, actually, because I think the first change, I would say, was emotional. In terms of, I think you were just tired of PCOS. You wanted a change. You were seeking a change, and you made it happen. So the fact that you started taking steps already in researching and starting to eat better, that in itself, to me, was a big step forward for you.
Yes.
Even though maybe at that stage, you know, there were no changes in your PCOS or your symptoms. Just the fact that you were taking steps forward, I think I could see a drive in you. There was hope again. I think hope's a big word, you know. Even though we didn't know, I mean, I guess at that stage you did this all in faith, right? That this would be...
Yeah, that it would work. I didn't know.
Yeah, exactly. And the fact that you started doing that was great. And then I think the benefit of that is that, you know, as the months went on, and I guess that from my experience, it was a longer journey. It's not an overnight thing. You eat well for a week and then ta-da, you fall pregnant. But or whatever, for you, it was just the consistency of that and sticking it through. And as you did that, I could see you started emotionally, you know, your hormones obviously started stabilizing. You became much more, I guess, confident in yourself. So it was a double bonus there. So...
Yeah, and I think the interesting thing again is that what Tim is pointing out is how... about how I felt in control and how it impacted me emotionally. He didn't once mention the fact that I lost weight or that my cycle was more regular or the fact that hopefully my hair wasn't as bad as it used to be. So the things that we so focus on a lot of the time might not be the things that are so important for our partners. So I just think that's really interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you swung that question around to me and saying, what are the advantages that I saw? I would have listed some of those, obviously. Okay. I mean, definitely, you know, watching the hair growth, you know, not being as bad, for example, or you losing a bit of weight, obviously is great, you know, for both of us. Yeah. Let's be honest, right? For you, it's you feel better.
Absolutely.
But obviously for me, it also, you know.
I guess it's also, it's more about how we feel as women that makes a difference because... Suddenly you're starting to feel more feminine, your confidence is better. I think it impacts, obviously the weight, you know, the weight loss helps and the, you know, the hairiness, not being so hairy helps. But I think it's, again, it's the core of who we are that it's impacting. And this makes a difference, I think.
Cool.
The other thing that I wanted to know is... how did you feel about my diet changes? Because I kind of have a policy in my house that I'm not cooking three meals a night. I'm not cooking one for Tim, one for Gracie, and one for me. I cook one meal and we all eat the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they're more to life than being in the kitchen all the time. So how did you feel about my diet changes? Because it impacted you, because suddenly you were eating what I was eating.
Yes. I think at this point, it's probably worth mentioning that I'm actually a diabetic, a type 1 diabetic. So I've been kind of on insulin. Well, I'm insulin dependent really since 1998. So that being said, I guess I've got an advantage in terms of I understand the science behind why eating foods helps and, you know, the advantages of a lower carb meal, for example, because I've been able to see those kind of results on my sugar levels. So in terms of making these diet changes, I think more than anything, actually, I started feeling really good and energized through it because even as a diabetic, I wasn't eating right anyway.
No.
I had an incredibly sweet tooth. Well, I still do. I'm not, let's be honest.
That's true.
If Taryn doesn't hide some of the nice stuff, I sniff it out, even as a diabetic. But it's okay. You know, there's nothing wrong with that.
That's why we don't keep nice stuff anymore because we both sniff it out.
Well, exactly. Yeah, it's more about a discipline thing. But yeah, in terms of, I actually have noticed, and I guess maybe this is just proof that the diet's good because I've noticed much more stable blood sugar levels in myself because I can see that, right? I mean, I test my blood sugars about 8 times a day, I'd say on average. So throughout the day, I could see if I eat something really, really high carb, I could see the impact on my blood sugars 2 hours later. And I think the basis of the diet is kind of, it's managing that insulin resistance. So it's actually ironic in a way that I understand this.
Yeah.
And I know if you guys are listening to this, you're not necessarily going to understand what the heck we're on about insulin resistance. What does that have to do with ovaries? It is all related.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll just quickly cut in there and just explain that women with PCOS have been shown that we release too much insulin for the amount of carbohydrates that we consume. And not only that, but also that our ovaries are particularly sensitive to insulin. So they respond by producing too much testosterone. And it's the testosterone that is the underlying cause of a lot of our symptoms of PCOS. So if we can control...
Yeah, obviously, just like the hair growth, right?
Exactly.
That's a male hormone.
Exactly.
Guys get hair in the face, for example. Some women do because of...
Exactly.
Right. Cool.
High testosterone. So if we can manage our insulin levels, we'll be able to manage some of our testosterone levels. So that's why Tim is talking about insulin and insulin resistance and carbohydrates in the diet.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't want to go on a tangent on that. But in terms of, you know, eating what you've been eating, I think it's been a blessing for me. It's been a hidden blessing. It's impacted both of us in a positive way. In terms of the food itself, I think I found it really tasty, actually. And just solid, whole food, healthy, you know, energy levels have gone up. So, yeah, I mean, on the whole, it's been great. It was an adjustment.
Yes.
Especially letting go of some of the nice treaty stuff that I would be used to.
Yeah, but we have found alternatives to the treats.
Oh, yeah. I mean, of course, yeah. It's not like we deprived at all. I think I've actually, it sounds crazy, but actually cutting out a lot of sugar and high carb meals and stuff, my palate has got sensitive. I mean,
more, yeah, that's true.
I don't know. I could taste food better. It's weird. Anyway.
And if you didn't, I mean, because I guess the advantage is that, well, the advantage and disadvantage is that you actually have a medical need. And so we're quite fortunate that we're both forced to eat in a very similar way. But if you didn't have diabetes and you were just an average man, what do you think you'd find most difficult about the diet?
I think what I would say is that I could see how, I mean, I understand how the meal plans are put together on your website, for example. So I understand the fact that you're eating, you know, your calorie intake's diminished. So as a guy, I wouldn't want that, obviously.
No.
I wouldn't want to limit my calorie intake. So I think I would probably eat the same meals, definitely. I'd probably have maybe 1.5 portions.
Yeah, I mean, I think you do anyway.
Yeah, I do. I mean, yeah, let's be honest.
I always give you more.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not a huge guy. You guys can't see me. I mean, I wouldn't say I'm a football player or anything huge in stature.
No, you're naturally slim.
But I've always had quite a big appetite, actually. And I do eat, obviously, a lot more than you.
Yeah.
I also just snack, you know, healthy snacks between meals. You know, so if I am hungry, then that's fine. You know, I have some good, I don't know, cashew nuts or something like that, you know, or just keep it real. And if you're hungry, eat, you know. Does that?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, you don't necessarily feel deprived or hungry or...
No, not at all. In fact, obviously, because everything's more low carb, a bit more protein, I found that I'm less hungry between meals because, you know, the protein it will obviously just, you know, keep me through to the next meal.
And Tim is... As we said, he's a naturally slim guy, so obviously weight loss is actually a concern. And have you lost weight since we've changed our eating?
No, I was nervous that I would, because I don't want to lose weight.
No, you don't.
If anything, I'm trying to put on weight. So, no, but I haven't lost weight. That's encouraging news, which is really good. So, yeah, no, I've been chuffed, and I'm actually trying to put on weight. Not bad weight, muscle weight.
Yeah. I'm sorry if there's rustling. I'm going to turn a page. What do you think is the best way for our partners to support women with PCOS?
This is a tricky one because obviously, you know, those listening will be in different degrees of need, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's going to be different states of emotion. I mean, in terms of history with each couple.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
So I think I can speak from experience. I think it wasn't the easiest thing for me to do, to understand PCOS and to support you in it, because I never understood it.
Yeah.
I didn't actually give much attention to it, if I'm being honest. Because, again, you came back with a diagnosis. I was like, okay, it is what it is. But then life carries on, right?
Yeah.
That's what happens. And I think I probably let you down, actually, in that initially. Didn't really understand. Didn't take the time to understand it. I kind of just left it as your issue. And obviously, when you spoke about it, I showed interest. But it was like, oh, well, you know, you'll sort it out. But so I guess the first thing I would say is actually to firstly understand that this is a much bigger issue than just a little diagnosis or something. It covers a wide range of things, I'd say, especially emotionally for me. It's huge. I mean, I can't say that enough. I've mentioned it a few times because I think the impact emotionally and hormonally is going to cause, you know, different levels of, I don't know, ups and downs and erratic moodiness and stuff. So I guess there's a level of patience needed by guys. And I think talking about it, I would say would be probably the first step is to understand that it's a real issue for your partner.
Yeah.
And to, I don't know, even if you have to seriously chat weekly about it or bring it up or do your own research, I mean, or get in touch with me and talk about it. I don't know, you know, those guys listening, because I think it's important. I really do. So I think showing an interest, and more than just an interest, but really getting involved, yes, understanding what the impact is. And then obviously from there, you can work out ways how you can support each other.
Hmm.
You know, if you're going to be eating a chocolate bar in front of your partner or a big packet of crisps every evening, you know, that might not be the most considerate thing.
No.
Especially if your partner is wanting to make these changes.
Yes.
So I guess sensitivity is needed. I mean, obviously, there's a lot more I'm sure I could say there. But.
No, well, I think the thing I was chuckling while someone was talking, because I was thinking about some of the emotional changes. And I think that I am far more stable emotionally than I ever have been.
Mm-hmm.
But at the moment, I'm also quite pregnant. And so I think that my pregnancy hormones have kicked in. And we had quite a big fight the other day. And I remembered thinking in my head, I'm being completely irrational about this. But I would never admit that to you. I would never have said, it's just my pregnancy hormones. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
And sometimes PCOS can just make us feel a bit crabby. And I think that it's always good. You know, you don't always want to blame PCOS if there's a real emotional issue. But I think sometimes just to take us with a little pinch of salt as well, I think.
Yeah, sure. I mean, and I think I've never actually given in to those emotions, you know.
No, Tim's quite good with me.
No, like, I think I know you well enough, you know, to know, yeah, if you are kind of going through a bit of a rational thing. I'm not going to just put you in your place, but it depends what it is, obviously. You know, we normally discuss things through, and let's be honest, I mean, everyone's going to have arguments in their relationships.
Yeah,
and,
of course.
And we have those from time to time. But yeah, we tend to get over them. And, you know, the good thing is you can recognize that as well. I think that's a big one, actually, because you recognize the ups and downs.
Yeah.
And, you know,
but sometimes I don't know that I do. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes I can go through a period of maybe, you know, a week or two of just not being myself, but not really even being aware of the fact that I'm not myself. And Tim will sometimes say, kind of, what's going on? And if I actually think about it, and I think, oh yeah, well, I actually haven't been myself, and maybe it's the fact that I haven't taken care of myself enough. You know, I may be eating well and taking my supplements, but sometimes being a mom and a wife and having the blog, and, you know, life just kind of runs away, and so I don't always necessarily take the time that I need to look after myself emotionally.
Yeah.
And I need you almost to point that out, and then take better control.
Exactly. Really. And I think we just got to be careful there. You know, we're not suggesting that all guys start pointing stuff out.
No.
Again, you know, it's not about that. I think, you know.
No, but our partners see us for who we really are, and they can often be a mirror to us, yes, when we need it.
Yes. So all I'm saying is that, bottom line, I don't think PCO should be used as a crutch in terms of.
Absolutely.
And that's not what we're saying. But I think if you have a solid relationship and you're committed to the relationship, then, you know, these little issues can be worked out.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yes.
Is there anything else that you want to add about or any kind of advice that you have for guys with PCOS that we haven't spoken about? Sorry, I said with guys with PCOS, but I mean their partners.
No, I guess actually something we haven't even got on our list yet, and I know I've heard that this is an issue for some guys, is the whole, you know, the sex. Sex or the lack of sex. I mean, I think some...
Yeah, that's true. We haven't
touched on that. And I think, I mean, geez, we can really be open here. But I think, fortunately, and I'm quite chuffed about this, is that, you know, I think generally we have a good sex life, which is good. I'm going to leave it at that.
Maybe we need to edit this, I think.
No. But in terms of... it is an issue for some guys. I think some women just aren't in the mood sometimes, you know. And I think that can be hard for guys, and because I guess I haven't really been in that place in our marriage, I don't have any advice for that in terms of that. But I know that can be an issue for guys, and that's something that, again, that's gonna have to be worked out. But you know, once those hormones start stabilizing and all of that, then I guess, you know, there is a way forward there.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I think for me, our main message, and it always has been in every blog post and every area and aspect of PCOS diet support, is that we can manage PCOS, and whether that be through diet and lifestyle, or if you do need to take metformin or medication, PCOS is not a death sentence. We do have it for life, and it's a long-term condition, but it is something that we can manage. And so if you do find yourself in a place where you have no sex drive and you don't feel very feminine and you're struggling with your weight, where you are now doesn't have to determine where you're going to be tomorrow or the next day or the next day. You know, you have a choice of what you want to do. And actually just taking the small steps of changing your diet, of taking some supplements, of going for a walk, that can make a huge impact on how you feel about yourself and how you perceive yourself. Even if you don't see a dramatic change in your PCOS symptoms immediately, you know, that will come.
Yep.
And I think, you know, I'm just really grateful for Tim, really, because I don't think that I would be where I am in so many ways without him. And I've needed his support. You know, it's been 5 or 6 years that we've known about my PCOS. And if it wasn't for him kind of encouraging me and supporting me and loving me when I didn't feel very lovable, I don't really think that would be here, you know. So I think that the people in your life are really important, and the men in your life are important, and it's important that they're on board with what you're doing and that they understand exactly what's happening in your body as well.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not easy. That's another thing to say. I mean, you make me sound like the perfect husband, and I know I'm not. I guess we're talking in the context of a few years here, which makes a big difference, right? I mean, yeah. We're not just talking about the last 2 months or something. So, no. Yeah, I haven't always got it right by any means. And I think that's a key to our marriage anyway, that we found is that we love and support each other. And you've been there for me just as much. So I think it really works. So I appreciate the nice thoughts.
We're getting gushy. Well, Tim.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, it's been a real pleasure. And
thank you so much for all your work on PCOS. It's not just, you know, not just this podcast, but as I said, every aspect of PCOS, Tim has a hand in some way, shape or form.
In
the website. And so I want to say thank you. And I really, really appreciate all the work that you put in as well.
Well, it's only a pleasure. And I think for me, what's really encouraging is to see level of satisfaction you get in helping other women. And for those women listening, also just to mention, oh, this is silly. We actually picking each other up. my dear wife spends hours and hours and hours each week on this, often just as a labor of love. And yeah, you know, we do sell the meal plans on the site, and you know, maybe some people think we have agendas with that, but really the amount of effort that goes into this and versus what we're getting out is really just, you know, it's sometimes hard to keep going, but you've done a great job and I know what an awesome person you are. So it's been a pleasure being here. And I think I've bypassed the couch. I don't think I'm going to be on the couch. Actually, maybe just ending off, if there are guys out there that would like to get in touch, maybe privately, you know, feel free to do that. What's the best way?
You could email me.
Yeah, actually, that's fine. Hit the blog. Go to the blog and you'll find a contact form there. Get in touch with Taryn. And then, yeah, I'm happy to, if you guys want to get in touch with me that way, I can email. I can always respond directly from my personal email or something. I'm also on Twitter if you guys want to, at Tim Poulsen. Excellent.
Well, thanks so much, everybody, for joining us on the podcast. We really appreciate the fact that you've taken the time to listen to us and share some of our story as well. If you do have any comments, please leave them on the blog, or as we said many times, please feel free to get in contact with us. And we look forward to speaking to you again in episode 4.
Thanks for tuning in to the PCOS Diet Support Podcast. For more PCOS diet tips and support, visit my site at PCOSdietsupport.com.